I started writing prolifically as a child. I was always doing poetry, and sort of if there was an essays to write, I loved that. I loved having to describe things. I always wrote copious diaries. Some of reading back now, they were full of all sorts of things, from hilarious things to my teenage years when they were sort of angst ridden, and you could recognize now other teenagers go through that awful phase where we really don't know who we are. The People's Friend came about. I had started writing for various magazines, and then I had always taken in injured birds of prey, hedgehogs, squirrels, things like that. In the old days, you used to have a license to keep, raptors, and it was called an LRK, which was a licensed rehabilitation keeper. And there were only a few in Tayside. I think there were two of us in Tayside at that particular point. And this lady who had a lot of registrable birds, so birds of prey, which had to be registered with the Department of the Environment, she died. And I was contacted by the SSPCA and asked if I would take on the birds she had, which were permanently disabled and kept in captivity. So I went to this incredible garden somewhere near Broughty Ferry, where this lady, Anne Deacon, had kept all these birds. And her daughter handed me all sorts of birds to take on and take away home with me. So obviously some of these birds we had to put to sleep, because the SSPCA and I both reckoned that, you know, they were not very happy in captivity. But anyway, there were some other birds we took, in particular a tiny baby owl, which was only about 10 days old. And that came home with me in a Pampers nappy box. That little owl was one of the first subjects of my column for the People's Friend. When we were sitting having a cup of coffee with the daughter, having loaded up all the birds into my car, she said, "I want to show you what Mum did." And she showed me this wonderful folder of lots of articles that her mum had written for the People's Friend. And they were all about these creatures that she took in. So I went home and I thought, now she's not there anymore, there's going to be nobody writing this sort of thing. I could write this sort of thing. So rather cheekily, quite soon after, I contacted the People's Friend completely out of the blue and told them that I was a writer and showed them some of the work I had done for other magazines. And the next thing was the editor rang me up. It was a lovely man called Douglas Nielsen. And he rang up and said, "Would you like to meet me for lunch at the hotel on the outskirts of Dundee, with the one that I think is now the Swallow Hotel?" He said, "I really love the idea of these stories, and they're obviously quite different to Anne Deacon's," which is great, "but they're also about animals, which is also good. So send me some samples." So the first one I sent was the one about Sage, the owl, the baby owl, and also Bean, my pet sheep. And he rang up and said, "We'd really like these. Can you do one every month?" And at that point, I decided I'd like to have a different name. So I called myself Claire Skelton. Claire, which is actually my first name, and Skelton because that was my grandmother's name. And I do remember that one month there was a misprint and it said Claire Skelton's Country Dairy, which was quite funny. But that's only ever happened once. So that was really how it all started. Another of the creatures that featured a lot in the early days was a kestrel called Sorrel, who had come and landed in the field in front of the farm in a very bedraggled, miserable state. And I had that kestrel for many years. He stayed with me. I didn't ever release him, but he was the most lovely bird. People wrote to me. I remember very early on, somebody sent me, there were special tins made for packets of digestive biscuits, and they looked like a packet of digestive biscuits. There was that shape. And this lovely lady sent me one of these tins with digestive biscuits in it because I had written about how Bean was so keen on digestive biscuits. Things knitted. There was somebody sent me a little knitted coat for one of the hens that wasn't, that I'd complained, written about the hen going rather bald and it being a cold winter. So it was really incredible, the reaction. And people sent me presents as well. I've always made it my policy to reply to every single letter I get, although occasionally I think the odd one slips the net. I think people like to see themselves in print. I think I've only had about two or three people turn me down when I've asked if I can write about them. I think people like it. One of the things I do, which I know a lot of other journalists don't do, is if I'm writing about somebody, I always, always let them read it first before it goes to print. Now, that isn't always done, because one word can change what somebody said. And also somebody can read something and think, "Actually, I'd really rather not say that. Perhaps that was a bit hasty of me." So they get a chance to retract it. The magazine has changed a lot, but in other ways it hasn't changed at all. And I think that's why people love it, because it has the same... It's got an earthy, homely feel about it. I think people feel comfortable with it. From talking to many of the older generation who've had it for years and are, you know, huge fans of The People's Friend, I think it's the fact that it's a safe, something that they know comes through the letterbox if they subscribe to it, or they get at the newsagent and they can go and relax. It's not an exhausting read. I mean, some of the wildlife magazines I get, I just feel totally drained and depressed when I've read all the misery. But The People's Friend has always got something to raise your spirits. And I think that's what we all need nowadays. And I think that's what I particularly love about it. And I think what's quite good about working with them is that they don't suddenly ring up and say, gosh, what on earth have you done this time? You know, they're always very open to you sending something a bit different if it's a bit of a different style. I used to have 3 African pygmy goats. In fact, we had a lot more originally. But the last 3, and they featured in The People's Friend an awful lot. I think these goats earned their keep several times with all the features because they were so naughty and they used to get into such antics. And when the last one died, it was a very sad day, but the friend readers, I think, really missed them because they were one of the most popular subjects I wrote about. You're inspired by just simple things, really. Dandelions on a verge, that's a story, because there's such a lot to write about dandelions. Mm. The fact you can use their leaves, the fact that the root was used for a coffee substitute. I mean, there's just so much. And I love all the old names associated with wildflowers. And I get a lot of feedback from friend readers on that sort of thing. They love that old lore. To those people who write to me for advice, do you think I should get another dog? I'm in my 80s. My advice is 9 times out of 10. Yes, you should, because I think a dog keeps you young, or an animal, a cat. I think as long as you can find somebody who will take it if something happens to you, and invariably that does happen. So, I mean, I think there's always people looking for nice dogs, older dogs, again, older people. So perhaps it's a good thing, I don't know. I think it's very important. It's the last magazine I'll give up. I'll work for them as long as they'll have me. Other magazines I have given up for various reasons, but The Friend is different. I think it's because of the reaction, but also because they're incredibly... The people I work with in the office there are so lovely to work with, and that makes a difference. You know, when there isn't a lot of money in writing, you're never going to get rich doing sort of columns, but that isn't why I do it. I do it because I enjoy it, and I do it because they're a pleasure to work with. If they weren't a pleasure to work with, then there wouldn't be any point. We're near Aberfeldy, which is, technically speaking, the heart of Scotland. It's apparently right in the middle. We're as far away from the sea as we possibly can be, and the irony of that is that I would like to be by the sea more than anything, and I don't quite know how that's happened. I think probably because this little farm cropped up when I was looking for somewhere. We now have 15 acres. I've planted thousands, literally, of trees. I think it's about 5,000 now, trees and hedges, since I first came here. So we are in quite a wooded place. We've seen a huge amount of wildlife increase since we did this planting. We've got red squirrels that come to the garden. We've just got CCTV set up the last 2 nights. We've actually sat on the sofa with a roaring fire, watching live badgers and pine martens just behind the shed coming for peanuts. So we feel we're very, very, very privileged. Wildlife is struggling everywhere, and I like to think that we've done our bit, but it's only a very small bit. We have 13 sheep at the moment and a pet red deer called Ruby, who features in The Friend quite a lot. She's an absolute treasure. We have hens and guinea fowl, and we have owls that come and go depending on seasons. We get injured owls and orphan owls in the spring, and I rear those and then release them here. So we have owls sometimes nesting in the chimney of the old bothy next to the house. People think it is lonely. In fact, I sounds really awful, but times I'd rather have more time on my own, because I find when you're by yourself, you get time to think, and I'm much more creative if I don't have the minutiae of dealing with lots of other things that go on in everyday life. But life's not like that. So, and in fact, I'm incredibly busy because I organise a book festival for Malig now. It takes up a lot of time, and I'm always got a book on the go as well. So this year I've had a lot of book promotion to do, so that's taken up a lot of time, and I've been with people an awful lot more. But in order to write, you really need to be by yourself, and I think to write the best stuff, you definitely need to be by yourself. The latest book I've written has had people have seemed to have reacted really well to that, but I want to do more personal writing. I've written about quite a lot of other people in my writings, and I'd like to do more of my own story, which I'm currently working on, but it's proving to be quite difficult to do. I wrote it all very, very quickly, a sort of memoir. Some of it's quite hard-hitting. It deals with personal issues that I've had to cope with, things like my father's terrible alcoholism, really difficult thing to bear, and it also deals with his suicide, which again is something I wanted to write about because I think there are lots of people who go through losing somebody they really love to suicide, and the guilt that that can leave is horrendous. So I think I wanted to explore that a bit, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, because I remember a friend of mine, his wife committed suicide a few days after I saw him walking down the street in Crieff. And I rushed across the road and gave him an enormous hug. And he burst into tears and he said, "You've no idea what a relief it is that somebody's coming to speak to me, because everybody is avoiding me and crossing the road to avoid me." And I always remember that. It's like something people won't talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think probably by writing about that, coupled with my father's alcoholism, I hope that I will touch lots of chords. That's the aim. Most of the people that work for the People's Friends stay for a long time, maybe not 150 years, but they do tend to stay a long time, which is great because it keeps it consistent, doesn't it? The main thing is that it's a joy and it's a pleasure and it's fun. That's the main thing, it's fun. And I think we already spoke about the fact that it's reliable. It's well named, The Friend. You know you can pick it up and feel better. You don't read it and think, "Oh, that's so difficult, that's so depressing, oh, I can't cope with that, you know, no, don't want to read that again." You know, like when you pick up a newspaper, you just feel absolutely gloomy, don't you, by the end of it? That is not the case with The People's Friend. You know, there's always something in there that you can relate to and makes you feel happy. And I think that's what the readers need. They want something that is reliable, especially in a world where things are not reliable. They don't want to know about Brexit. They don't want to know about, you know, which politician is murdering which other politician. They really want something joyous, and that's what is so good about The People's Friend. It is a joyous magazine, I think.